Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 18. I want to continue on with the parables, and tonight I want to talk about the Pharisee and the tax collector. A parable is a short story used to illustrate truth, a natural story that unfolds a spiritual truth. And I like the parables because there's so much that you can see in these. And there's so much to see here. So let's read together Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: "I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income." But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So much to see here. In this parable, there's two men. And here's one of the things I want you to see. These are two men in church. This isn't a heathen off the street. These are two men in church. And so we're talking about two types of people, two ways of thinking in church. And we'll read this story and think, well, this don't have any. Well, obviously all the people that go to church are like the tax collector, because we understand what God did. But you wouldn't believe how many in church are like the Pharisee. And so we've got to understand these two types of people and their ways of thinking. One's a religious man, one is a despised tax collector. I want to digress for a second. I like that word. Today there is nothing wrong with being a tax collector. I mean, actually it's a reputable occupation. It's not looked at the way it was during Jesus' time. I mean, in Jesus' time, let me just give you the background of what a tax collector was. The ruler of the area or the province would say how much money he wanted out of each area. He would say, "Here's how much money I need collected from each area." And then whoever wanted to lie, cheat, steal, beat people up, whoever wanted that position would say, "I'll get that money for you from the people of that area." And he would do whatever necessary to get the money out of the people, and the amount that he would then deliver to the ruler was exactly what the ruler had asked for, and then what he could make on top of that was what he could keep. So if they asked for $20 from one area, and I'm just using an easy illustration, and he could make 60, then he get to come home with 40 and just give 20. So the amount wasn't significant at the amount that he would take on top of it. It wasn't. So he'd just get as much as he could. And he'd watch everybody's lives and what they were making, what they had increased into their home. He would watch their herds, their chickens. I mean, "Oh, you had 3 more chickens. You need to pay tax on that." And he would go and get more and more money, and he'd just be at your door daily to get money. Can you imagine someone watching you daily of everything that you had, everything that you did? "Oh, you went out to eat. There's a tax on that." Now, we pay that when we go out to eat, but I'm talking about somebody watching everything you're doing, because that's the tax collector. And they weren't really fond of tax collectors. As you can imagine, I mean, in fact, they were looked at as the low of low, because they do whatever was necessary to come get what the ruler wanted and then what they wanted on top of that. So they were the lowest of all lows. Jesus is talking about two people, and you got to know the two people that he's talking to. The Pharisee was someone who kept the law and lived it day in and day out, did it according to way Scripture had outlined and what he knew, and that's what he was doing. Verse 9, some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. He told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. He was talking to people who had some confidence in their own righteousness. Now, the mistake here is twofold. We shouldn't have confidence in our own righteousness. That's one. And the second thing we shouldn't do is we shouldn't scorn everyone else or look down on other people. Young people, this is a really good word for you to get at an early age. Not looking down on other people. We got to address both these points here tonight. Confidence in our own righteousness. Isaiah 64:6 says, all of our righteousness, our own, are as filthy rags. Now, I could spend hours talking about how our righteousness will never get the job done. We could talk for hours on this. The parable that I'm reading tonight is the essence of our salvation, and we have to understand this. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Let's look at this for just a second. I won't spend hours on it. Chapter 5, verse 6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now I want you to see one word in this, helpless. What's that mean? That means there's nothing you can do. Helpless. We are helpless. And Christ came and died at just the right time for us. There's nothing we could do about the condition we were in. We were helpless. We were helpless. Church, you got to understand this. We were helpless. And then as you continue to read, verse 8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. We are made right by all the wonderful things we do. We're made right because we went and blessed somebody here a couple weeks ago. We were made right because we said something kind to somebody who's not kind. No. We're made right by what? By the blood of Christ, it says. In verse 9, by the blood of Christ. It's not what we do. When Adam sinned, sin entered and sin brought death, and death was ushered in by Adam. And it wasn't a good thing. Let's keep reading verse 15. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Praise God. You read that and I've read that my whole life, or I've read that. Church, our right standing with God is a gift from God through the blood of Jesus. That's how we have right standing. People will say, well, are you righteous? I don't know if anyone's ever, they may not ask it exactly like that, but I ask you tonight, are you righteous? What is your answer? Absolutely. Absolutely, I'm righteous. But there's no need to pat me or you on the back because of your righteousness. I have right standing only because of the free gift God gave me through the blood of Jesus. See, there's nothing that I did, it's what he did. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus 3, verse 5 says, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. So, are you righteous? Absolutely. Are you going to inherit eternal life? Yes. I have confidence in my righteousness in the righteousness God has gave me. I have confidence in that, that I have right standing. I have confidence because it's nothing that I have done. If it was because of what I had done, I couldn't have confidence. I'd be concerned all the time. And I feel so sorry for those who don't walk in the confidence of their salvation. I have right standing with God, not because of what I did. I did nothing to get that, so I can't do anything to take it away. He gave it freely. See, this guy praying here is not even close to how the plan of salvation works. You'll never pray long enough. You'll never give enough money. You'll never go to church often enough. It can't be earned. It is a gift. You got to get that. Ephesians 2:9. Salvation is not of works. It is by grace through faith, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. Don't ever boast in your righteousness. You boast in his righteousness, in what he made possible. See, in and of yourself, you can't be confident. It's only because of Jesus. So the second thing tonight, it says in Luke 18 that he scorned, or that he's talking to people who scorned everyone else. Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else, or looked down on people. Luke 18:11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. Thank you, God. I mean, you can hear it. Thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else. Thank you, God, that I'm not like, I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that. Not like him. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of my income. Corinthians firmly warns us about comparing ourselves among ourselves. It just very, very clearly. See, in a better way or a worse way. Well, this person's way better than me. This person's way worse off than I am. See, you're not above or beneath anyone. You're responsible for looking at yourself only. Young people, be careful about comparing yourself to others. Well, so-and-so, mom, dad, you know what so-and-so's doing? You know what so-and-so's done? You know, here's what they did. Aren't you glad I'm your son and he's not? Mom, dad, I'm sorry, I'm not as good as so-and-so. They did a lot better than me. I heard what they got on their test and I didn't get that, and I'm just not as smart as that. Come on, we can't be comparing ourselves. The Bible's just real clear about not doing that. When people do compare, here's what always amazes me. They don't seem to oftentimes compare themselves with someone that might be giving 20% when they're given 10. They're going to compare themselves with someone who's giving nothing. Come on, I mean, we're going to compare ourselves with someone who's not where. You ever talk to an alcoholic? And you can listen. I've visited with people in this scenario 100 times, and they'll say, "Well, at least I don't smoke that dope." Like there's that makes it okay that they're addicted to alcohol. You'll never talk to someone who smokes weed that don't say, "Well, I never touch that hard stuff. Well, I don't mess with that hard stuff. I've never put a needle in my veins." But yet there's. See, people will be quick to tell you that they don't do it as bad as someone else. You ever watch Cops? That program is so amazing to me. I mean, they have these raids on different areas of town, and they'll arrest prostitutes. And what were you doing? Well, I'm not as bad as those other prostitutes. I mean, my side of town's a lot. I mean, I wouldn't do what they do. Well, you're a prostitute, and you're going to compare yourself to someone else who's, yeah, those prostitutes. Now I'm a good one, but just because you don't do doesn't make you righteous. Regardless, it doesn't make you right just because you don't do something. A student is called into the principal's office, and I have seen this. They just want to talk about what all the other kids were doing. I'm not here to talk about what the other kids are doing. I'm here to talk about what you did. We can sit here and talk all day long about what everybody else did. That don't mean anything because you're not going to answer for them. You're going to answer for you. And right now, let's just talk about what you did. That's what's important. And so what we got to do is we got to be careful. You know, when the police pulls you over and you're doing 50 into 20 and you start telling him, well, I can't believe you pulled me over. There's three cars that passed me going faster than I was. What does that have to do with you going 50 into 20? Years ago, I was on my way to Branson and I was driving in a car, and it was back before all the lanes were four lane. You know what I mean? You couldn't just go. I'm dating myself, but it was two lane on the way to Branson at one point for all you young people. And so I'm on my way to Branson, going down 65 from Springfield, and I had got behind, and it was horrible when you're on one of them big hills and you're behind a very slow moving vehicle. So what do you need to do? You need to get around them. Well, I kept thinking, if I get around them, I'm going to have to really get after it. And so then I had two or three cars go right on around me. And I thought, well, they all did it. Here we go. You know, it wasn't a peel out. It was just, that was my engine sound. And so we're getting around this car. And I mean, it was just a four cylinder. So I had to really get after it. And I'm getting around this car and I get to the other side. And all of a sudden, just sitting there on the side of the road, I mean, I don't know how I didn't see him to start with. But there he is, and I'm like, oh, no. And I can't slam on my brakes because I'm in the left lane, and I got to get around this car. Oh, and so, I mean, it was instant. Lights, I saw him. Here he comes. Pulls me over. Obviously, you weren't following this guy, officer. This guy was going slow, and then he goes so fast downhill you couldn't get around him, and on the uphill, so I had to get after it, and there was three other cars. I've tried this line of reasoning. Well, you still were going 70 miles an hour, and the speed limit is 55. But nothing. Ticket. And you can argue all day long. It's not going to do you any good because you were breaking what was supposed to. See, you weren't doing what was supposed to happen. Jesus is addressing this nature that's in man. And I want you to get, this is a nature we all have. We always want to look at, we don't deserve what we're getting. Because someone else didn't get it, we don't think we should. And we start thinking like that. We don't think we're guilty because we just don't compare to how bad the other person was. The other person was way worse. Verse 11, I'm not a sinner like every, are y'all getting this? I'm not a sinner like everyone else. Why? What was he saying that? Because he doesn't do the things the other does. That's what he was getting at. The deal is, we're exactly like the tax collector. We're exactly like him. See, just because you didn't rob a bank and someone else did, doesn't mean that you didn't look upon a woman with lust in your heart. Come on. See, just because you didn't sell meth or go cook it, doesn't mean you didn't deal with jealousy this last week. See, we get so caught up. Philippians chapter 3, Paul addresses this. Philippians chapter 3. Paul really got a hold of this when he was talking about who he was. Verse 5 of chapter 3 in Philippians. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. A real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I'm a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Tonight, we're just going through a little Bible study here. Being right with God depends on being right with Christ. Keeping the law, let me just tell you, keeping the law, there's good things to that. So don't think for a second I'm here to curse and put away with. What I'm here to say is keeping the law will allow you to be blessed. See, I broke the law and got a ticket. When you keep the law, you can walk in blessing. When you keep the law, whatever the law is, God's law, when you keep God's law, you can walk in prosperity in life. When you do it God's way, come on, when you do it God's way, you can walk in the blessings of God. But when you do it wrong, you walk in the consequences. But that's not what we're talking about. I'm not talking about being blessed right now. What this is talking about is being in right standing with God. Do you see the difference? There is the opportunity for you to be in right standing with God through Jesus only. And then there's opportunity for you to keep the law and walk in some of the blessings of God. Your righteousness is not up to you doing right. You passed on robbing the bank yesterday. See, I praise God for that. I'm thrilled for you. You passed on going out in the woods and cooking meth. Good choice. But did you have envy and strife yesterday at work? So we're talking about standing right with God here. We're all sinners in need of Jesus. The world still has this idea that some people are good and some people are bad. And in church, we haven't separated that thought. We think there's good people in church and there are some bad people in church. What I'm here to tell you is we are all sinners. Every one of us, we have a little deal here at CMC, and I have mentioned this several times, and I think it's really important. I don't make you put your past up on the screen, and you don't make me put mine up. It's because of Jesus that I'm in right standing with God, and I'm not going to sit here and pull out all of this past junk in anybody's life. It's buried. It's under the blood. I'm in right standing. I'm not bringing any glory to it. But still, people think, I just don't know. See, everybody here that knows and has accepted Jesus and what he did on the cross of Calvary is made right. You got to know that tonight. There's none better and none worse here. That we're just all in need of what Jesus did. Your righteousness alone would never be good enough. Otherwise, you could boast about it, but you can't boast in what you did. You can only boast in what he did. Luke 18:13. Get back to talking about what we're talking about. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I'm a sinner." This man realized that his own righteousness was as filthy rags. See, he got a hold of that. He didn't give a list of all that he had done right. And surely this guy wasn't all bad. I mean, yes, he was a tax collector. Yes, he wasn't looked at from the community as one of the better standing members. I understand that, but he's not. He can't be all that bad. I mean, he might say, you know what? I paid my bills. I took a boy fishing the other day. Come on, I've done this and I've done that. His prayer is not telling God, "God, look at all I did." He's beating his chest and recognizing he's a sinner. And he realizes that God's grace is what he needs. That's what we got to get a hold of. Come on, we've been doing it right. Some of you have been doing it right for a while now. And you're expecting, because you've done it right, something to happen. And what I'm here to tell you is it's already happened. He died on the cross for you, and you're not getting that held against you, the sin, the mess ups. Romans 3:23, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's standard. Don't ever think you're too unworthy to go to church. And if you're talking to anybody who thinks that, tell them, "Whoa, wait a minute here. You nor I have anything to do with being worthy to go to church. That's why we go." Verse 24 of Romans 3. God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Come on, when he freed you from the penalty of your sins. Church, how could you have a bad day? You're freed from the penalty of your sins. How could you have a bad day when you see that you've been freed from the penalty of your sins? Romans 3:25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. Whole lot to be said about that, and I don't have time tonight. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? Nope. Because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, it's based on faith. So we're made right with God through faith, not by obeying the law. We're made right with God, come on church, through faith in him. That's why we don't walk around looking down our nose at people. So we don't, that gets me quicker than anything. When I see somebody who's looking down their nose at someone who may have done something wrong, bless their heart, they didn't know better or they blatantly did it wrong, but they need Jesus. They need his forgiveness. They need his acquittal. They need what he made available through going to the cross. I mean, they need Jesus. So we are wowed oftentimes by people who look like they're doing it right all the time. But let's talk about those that are looking down on everyone else, or maybe that has been us. Maybe at your work you know somebody who just not doing it right. Romans 12:3. Don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Don't think more highly of yourself than you should. People get confused right here and they miss this point. Luke 18:11, wrong thought is, thank you God that I'm not like them. Thank you God that I'm not like that sinner. The right thought, Luke 18:13, oh God, be merciful, I'm a sinner. Okay, so we see the right thought and the wrong thought here. But I want to explain this by going to Matthew chapter 7. Turn there with me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. If you are on Facebook anytime at all, you will see this quoted by somebody trying to prove that Christians just don't even know their own Bible. And so I want to talk about it tonight. Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. You know, you and I have enough trouble dealing with our log to be dealing with somebody else's speck. Now, let's just think about that. We got enough problems oftentimes dealing with our own log that's sitting there in our own eye as opposed to the speck. We are not to live our life judging. All right, now some of you go, okay, well wait a minute here, because you've heard me preach on this. The same word that Jesus was using right here in this parable when he's talking about looking down on others is the same word that is translated here as judging in Matthew 7:1. Now, I love this because when you get a hold of this, you'll understand the spiritual, the truth behind this as we're looking at something in the natural. See, you're not to look down on others in a way that you think you're better than them. That's what you're not to do, to look down on them. Here's a huge mistake, thinking that people are worse than you and that you're better than them. It's only by the grace of God that we're in right standing. In understanding this truth, we hear that it is wrong all the time. Don't judge, don't judge. Come on, don't judge. How many has had anybody tell you that? Don't judge. What is being talked about as not to do is this, to think you are better off than somebody else. That's what he's talking about when he says don't. Instead of saying don't judge, let me translate it like this. Don't think you're better off than anyone else. Don't look down your nose at anyone. That's what he's saying here. And we need to be careful about not getting in a ditch with not judging. See, at the same time he tells us not to judge, Matthew 7:1, don't judge, don't judge. Matthew 7:15, what's that say? Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Wow! How do you identify people by their actions? You judge them. But you don't use the word judge in the way that they were talking about looking down on them. You judge them by examining their fruit. Do you see the difference? One is you're looking at fruit. The other one is you're looking down your nose at them. And they're two totally different perspectives. So when someone's arguing on Facebook about this, about not judging, or you're getting into a discussion at your break room at work, and they're saying, don't judge, what they're saying is they need to understand what that means is don't look down your nose at them. Don't look at them like they're worse off than you are. We're all sinners in need of God's grace. But what I am telling you is that we are not to look down our nose, but we are to examine fruit. You better know who the sheep is and who the wolf is. You better know. You judging me? Absolutely I am. But I'm not looking down my nose at you, thinking I'm better than you are. I'm not doing that, but I'm inspecting your fruit. And you can count on me doing that. See, we're not to judge or condescend, but you're to identify the wolves and the sheep. Parents, they get this so out of whack. I mean, and I teach this so often, I think it's so important that we understand. You're going to send your child over to someone's house to spend the night. And your child has heard about this judging thing. And you say, well, honey, I don't know that person's dad. Or I don't know this person, or I don't know enough to know if that's a good decision. Well, are you judging them, Mom? Are you judging them, Dad? Well, honey, I'm not looking down my nose at them. But I don't have enough inspection of their fruit to know if this is a good decision or not. So we got to make this practical. How we can operate here. See, I'm not saying my family's better than their family. That's not what I'm saying at all. See, I'm not saying that we're better off than them. But you better inspect, and if the fruit's not there, you better know the difference between wolf and sheep. See, my daughters, they did not spend the night, not one time, in a house where there was an older brother. What if you even knew? I was an older brother. What I'm telling you is, you better watch, and you better understand. Don't talk to me about, well, this is a good 14 or 15-year-old boy. This 14 or 15-year-old boy is in need of the same grace, the same blood of Jesus, because we are all sinners, and we have all fallen short, and I'm not taking a chance of him falling short while my daughter's over there. See, I'm not saying I'm better. I'm not saying that I'm worse, not looking down my nose at them, but I'm making a judgment, and that's not where I'm sending my kids. There's nobody that is above sin. Nobody. And you don't look at someone and say, that dirty sinner. See, that's the wrong thought. Because that person is you and me. We're all guilty. As anyone else is, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're in need of Jesus. Church tonight, is it good to be in church? It's good to be in church. Good to be in church. Is it good to not rob a bank? Sure. Is it good not to make meth? Yeah, that's probably a good thing. Don't make meth. And don't try it. There's somebody else here. Try it. This is good stuff. Don't do that. It's not good. There's no good meth. understand this. It's good to be in church and it's good not to rob a bank. But neither one of those things have anything to do with gaining you right standing. Only the blood of Jesus does. That's what you got to get out of this. We're in no place to look down on people. I'm not without sin in my life, and you're not either. And I need to have God's grace and mercy. I need a whole dose of it daily. Therefore, I got to get to a place that I give God's grace and mercy to those that are in need. So we can't be looking down on others. Everyone is welcome to walk in that door right there. Everyone's welcome. So we got to get the mindset of we're not above anyone. We're just all in need of Jesus. That's what this church has got to operate. I am the tax collector. I don't want to be the Pharisee. I'll take some of the Pharisees' laws that they operated under and I'll receive the blessing. So I'm okay with that. So make wise decisions. Don't condemn, but identify sheep and wolves. Inspect fruit. See, this whole story is so good. Don't look down on others, but judge them according to the fruit. But we all need Jesus. Y'all get the whole story here? I love the parables. Y'all stand with me.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.